discuss some Inyane Purim, and specifically the Purim Suda in general, and then specifically what do we do this year? Is there a difference this year that we have a rare occurrence in America, Chutzlar, North America, that Purim is falling out on Friday? It's not that uncommon for Purim to fall out on Friday in Yerushalayim, because every time Purim is Thursday here, Purim is Friday in Jerusalem. That's less of a rare occurrence, but for to fall out on Friday in America is very rare. We don't have, I think we had it 20 years ago, but it doesn't happen that often. In fact, speaking of stats, we had a rarity this year that Parsha Zachar falls out once a year, every year. That wasn't the rarity. The rarity is it fell out on Parsha's Truma. Generally speaking, we read Parsha Zachar on Parsha's Tetzaveh, and if it's a leap year, we read it on Vayikra. But this year was a rarity. We read Parsha Zachar on Parsha's Truma. The last time that happened was about 20 years ago, 2001, I believe. And the year before that was in the 1970s. I forget the exact year. But more importantly, when is the next time it's going to happen? We don't like looking backwards. We like looking forwards. The next time Parsha Zachar is going to fall out on Parsha's Tetzaveh is when the Medinas Yisrael, when the state of Israel turns 100. So what year will that be?
2067.
No, I think 48 is when the state of Israel, 67 was the war. So correct, in about 27 years, 2048, next time on the calendar where it says Parshas Truma will be Parshas Zachar. Hopefully we'll be all alive to discuss it, have a share on it in 27 years from now. But who knows what's going to be. So in general, it was a rare Shabbos. In general, it's rare to have in America, North America, outside of Israel, or outside of Yerushalayim, having a Purim on a Friday. So we'll see if there are any different halachic issues in terms of Friday. And we'll deal specifically with the Suda, the Purim Suda, because regarding Megillas Esther, it's the same Megillah. Same Megillas Esther, and we'll see in terms of what we do. So the first thing is the Gemara learns out from the Psukim and Megillas Esther, Purim is Yemei Mishta V'Simcha, the day of partying, Mishta V'Simcha, and it's a joyous occasion. So we learn out about having a Suda, having a meal on Purim. So generally speaking, when we say having a meal, what do we mean by having a meal? In halachic terminology, it's usually referring to you have to wash with bread. You know, you have a bread and you have benching. In fact, we wouldn't have to discuss it. I guess going back, I don't know, 20, maybe 30, 40, 50 years ago, certainly longer, and certainly in Europe, when we said if you had a meat meal or if you had a dairy meal, there wasn't much different. Basically, your whole meal was eating bread, maybe potatoes, and they threw in a little schmaltz of meat. Maybe they threw in a little sheet of butter. Basically, that's what people ate. That was the Suda, was bread, basically. Today, we live in a different world where no one wants to eat bread. I wouldn't say no one. But, you know, you have these carb diets, and people are staying away. So some people go out of their way not to eat bread the whole week. Rachmana litzlan, on Shabbos, they have to have challah. Again, those who have, like, specific diets, gluten, and they can't have. That's a separate discussion what they do. But people who are perfectly capable of having challah, but they don't want to because of diet reasons, carbs, etc. So either way, the bottom line is today it's a different world that we have to try to encourage people. We don't like forcing. We like persuading people that they should have bread certain times. If you're having, because that's how a student does mitzvah. So what about on Purim? So it's actually a debate among the poskim whether the Rambam clearly states one has to have or one should have, basar v'yayin, meat and wine for the Sudas Purim. He doesn't mention anything about bread. Doesn't mean he's excluding, but it could mean it's axiomatic. Of course, you need bread, but in addition, you have to have meat and wine.
Rabbi?
Yeah.
But in Yontif, surely, for Simcha, doesn't meat and wine at least recommended?
Yes, that is correct. It's generally recommended, but perhaps if you, according to some, interesting enough, if you only could have meat one meal one time a year, some might argue it should be Purim time, because Purim there's a specific chiyuv. But you know, either way, but yeah, that is correct. Generally speaking, even though a lot of people like to have dairy, it's definitely encouraged to have a meat and wine. And of course, if someone doesn't like meat, let's say they get sick from it, they don't like the taste, when they look at the meat, they see the blood come, whatever the psychological, emotional, or health reasons are, if someone enjoys dairy, so then perhaps on Shabbos, you could argue it more, Oneg Shabbos. Oneg is more subjective. So ironically, many people won't have dairy on Shabbos, but they'll have it on Yontif. In terms of levels, it's probably less of an issue. I'm not saying you can't have it on Yontif. Is also a different issue because you could have a 3-day Yontif. You have 2 days. There's a lot of meals. But I'm just saying in pure theoretical halakhic terms, it's probably more people would encourage dairy on Shabbos and meat on Yontif than they would, you know, obviously one happens every week. Again, so there's a lot of nuance to it, but from a strict halakha, so it's oneg. So oneg refers to there's a level of subjectivity. In fact, perhaps, I don't know that many people, but if someone enjoys fasting over eating, maybe you can make a case that one can fast on Shabbos in contrast to Yontif or Purim, where you might have a chiyuv to have a meal, etc. So either way, there's a lot of nuances. Those are separate shiurim, but correct. In general, it was like in Europe and probably in the, you know, in the 60s, 70s, maybe 80s, it was unheard of to have dairy meals, you know, as for the hamonav. It's a much later, it's a much more 10, 20, 30 years ago. I'm just being descriptive. I'm not saying bad or good. The custom changed. More people, I guess, don't have meat. They have more dairy. Maybe meat became more of a health issue. You know, whatever the reasons are, more people prefer. Maybe they learned to make more things dairy. That dairy became an option. I think it's also more, it's a pragmatic thing. If you have Yontif, so many meals, you might not want to have meat like 4 to 6 meals. Versus, you know, having it on a Shabbos, it's only like a 1-day thing. But either way, nevertheless, that is true. But there's a special chiyuv on Purim according to the Rambam to have basar v'yayin. So therefore, it's actually a debate among the poskim whether one is obligated to have bread on Purim. And in fact, where does it come up? My nafkamina, besides eating bread or not. So, because it goes back to the old shiloh of, let's say, you on Shabbos or Yontif, if you forget Ritzeh in benching, or if you forget Yalav Yavo in benching on Shabbos or Yontif, must one repeat the benching or not? So the general rule of thumb is, you have to know what the specific rule applies to each holiday, but the rule of thumb is, if you're obligated to have bread at that meal, then you're obligated to repeat the benching. If I'm not obligated to have bread, so I do not have to repeat the benching. So on Shabbos, at least the first two meals, if one forgot to say, would say Friday night and Shabbos lunch, one would be obligated to repeat benching with Ritzeh. At Shalosh Shudas, one would not be. Why? You don't need to have bread at Shalosh Shudas? Well, lechatchila, all would say it's preferable one should have bread at Shalosh Shudas also, but it's a post facto question. Let's say one did not have bread at Shalosh Shudas, since there are those opinions who say you could be yotze with other things besides bread. Again, some also say if you too, especially on an early Shabbos, like in the winter, when you just had a big lunch and you're still stuffed to go into Achilas Gassos, so there's room to what to talk about. But it's a In an ideal state, everyone agrees you should wash and eat bread all three meals. But halakhically speaking, the first two meals you have to go back and repeat benching. But if you forget ritzei at shalosh shittos, one does not have to repeat benching. But the rule of thumb is if you have a chiyav suda. And similarly on yantif. On yantif, you have a chiyav suda. So if you forget yal of a yavo on yantif, you must repeat. And on Rosh Chodesh, if you forget yal of a yavo, you do not have to repeat because there is no obligation of having bread on Rosh Chodesh. You should have it should be a mixa simcha, but it's praiseworthy to have bread, but it's not mandatory. So that's the question. So, yeah.
Well, I understand, Dave,
since
Ashura sometimes is so close to Moti Shabbat, will you still have to repeat benching if you're that close? If you already benched and very close to Marev, on Shabbat for
Shalosh
Shudas, would you still have to repeat benching if you forgot
what you're saying? That's what we're saying anyway. For Shalosh Shudas, I'm saying you don't have to repeat, even if you had Shalosh Shudas at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, because since there are opinions who say that you don't need bread, so therefore we go lenient, Suffolk Brachos Gahakia, we don't want you to repeat benching because there's a minority view that says you do not need bread. So that's the question here by Purim. Since it's a debate among the Mefarshim, everyone agrees you have to have a Suda, but some say, so Suda means bread. Others say, no, it only means bus of a Yayin. So therefore the question is, if you benched on Purim and you left that Al Hanisim, so Suffolk Brachos Gohakel. Since it's a debate, you would not go back. Therefore, it's good not to forget because you won't be able to go back and repeat benching. The general minig is we generally assume you have to have bread, or you definitely should have bread. Obviously, if someone can't have bread for health reasons, then it's not an issue. If you can't have bread for health reasons, you won't have bread on Yom Tov or Shabbos either, depending on what the health issue is. But certainly on Purim, there are those who say you could be Yotzei the Purim Suda without bread, but clearly the custom is to have bread, but if you bench without Al Hanisim, one would not have to repeat the benching in a practical sentence. And while we're at it, if you forget Al Hanisim in davening, you would not repeat either. There's a chiyuv to have a Purim Suda. So interesting, Purim and Chanukah have a lot of similarities. They're both post-biblical. And even though Purim is in the Navi in the Ksuvim, and that's why it says in Chanukah Chanu Chafhei, they rested on the 25th. It didn't make it into the 24 books of Tanakh. It would have been the 25th book, but it never made the cut. So Chanukah is a pure Durabanan, but Purim generally is referred to as a Durabanan, maybe a Divrei Kabbalah, words of the prophets, but it's certainly not biblical. So generally speaking, there are many similarities between Chanukah and Purim. So it's interesting to know when you find things with many similarities, you try to find the differences between Chanukah and Purim, or in general in life, when you have you try to find something that's not the same, and then you try to understand why not. You can't learn anything from the similarities, you have to learn from the differences. So one of the differences between Purim and Chanukah is on Purim, we assume there is a chiyuv suda. There is an obligation to have a Purim meal. On Chanukah, strictly speaking, the way we assume, that there is no obligation to have a Chanukah meal. It's praiseworthy. And they say if and when you have a Chanukah meal, you should have shiros, you should sing zmiros, have divrei Torah, to make it into a sudas mitzvah. So there's a difference, even though the Rambam writes Chanukah also, there's a chiyuv suda, but we don't pass it like the Rambam. Generally speaking, that's one of the differences between Purim and Chanukah. Purim is a chiyuv suda, Chanukah is not. And the question is why? Why is there an obligation to have a meal on Purim and not on Chanukah? So there's a famous answer of the Lavush. The Lavush writes, because we have to go back to what was the reason for the original persecution, for the decree? So if we go back to Hanukkah, it was the fight against the Syrian Greeks. But the Syrian Greeks were interested, they weren't interested in killing us. That was after we didn't listen to them. They wanted us to accept the Greek culture, take on the Greek philosophy, and we could live together in peace and unity. It would be great. And when the Jews refused to accept the Greek culture, reject the Torah, that's the whole war with the Maccabees, the Hashmonaim, and we defeated them. But really, it was a spiritual defeat, a spiritual war. Hence, the rabbi set up Hadlakas Neros. We light candles. Candles represent Torah and mitzvahs. We say Hallel every day. So that's why it was set up in a spiritual manner. When it comes to Purim, Haman's decree was Lahashmi Laharagas Kol Yehudim. It was to destroy all the Jews, men, women, and children. He didn't care if you were observant, you kept Shabbos, you didn't keep Shabbos, you believed in God, you didn't believe. Haman said, if you're Jewish, we want you dead. In fact, that's what the Mefarshim point out, that during the sad period we're in now, sad meaning seasonal adjustment disorder, during the winter months when it's dark outside, less light, and people who are prone to depression more, besides, I don't mean those who are clinically depressed, that for sure, but even those who aren't, light brings a certain joy. That's why we have, we light candles, shalom bayis, and darkness has a certain, you know, you wake up, the sun's shining, you feel, you know, vayashkem avram babokir. You know, but if you turn outside, it's dark, it's rainy, you don't want to get out of bed, you don't want to go, it's just a psychological thing. So when it comes to, and in fact, we have the two holidays, there are two types of anti-Semitism. What we'll call religious anti-Semitism, like Hanukkah. Like, it wasn't like, basically it's like a battle, it's like a contest. My religion's better than yours. Come join my Greek philosophy and I'll show you it's better. In other words, not that it's valid and justified, but we understand where it's coming from. They want everyone to accept the Greek philosophy. When it came to Haman, it wasn't like, let's become a Persian. There's nothing you could do. In the time of the Greeks, if you want, like we have that in Jewish history. Certain times they're looking to convert us. Other times they're looking to murder us. And in fact, as Rabbi Jonathan Sachs-Zatzal points out, that's what we went through in the 20th century. We had both aspects. We had the communists who tried to destroy Judaism. They didn't want you to teach any religion, any Torah. And you had Hitler who wanted to destroy the Jews. And it didn't make a difference to the Hitler whether you were observant or not. You're Jewish, and even if your father's Jewish, that's how machmir he was. When it came to the communism, we don't want you dead. We want you part of, join our religion, join our party, whatever it is. And therefore, we find these two types of anti-Semitism. Those who wanted murder Jews, and then there's nothing to discuss. With them, there's nothing to discuss. They're going to kill you no matter what. And then you have those, they don't want us dead as long as we fulfill their qualifications by giving up our religion. So by Purim, that was, Hitler was following in the way of Haman. So Purim is a much more physical, ethnic, that's it. You're Jewish, you're dead. Purim was more destroying Judaism in general, not Jews per se. It just happens to be the Jews are in Judaism. So hence, when it comes to Hanukkah, we celebrate in a spiritual way because we were attacked in a spiritual way. But Purim, it was a physical way. Hence, we have a Suda on Purim, and we don't have a Suda on Hanukkah. That's the famous reason of the Levush. However, we have another reason. The Shiltis quotes, the Netziv, others quote it, that there's another reason why we have a Suda on Purim. And the Gemara tells us in Shabbos, and it's actually a pasuk in Yisro, Vayitzyatzvu betachtis hahar. It goes back to Matan Torah at Har Sinai. The Jews were standing beneath the mountain. And the Gemara in Shabbos, Peches 88a, I believe, tells us the famous Chazal. What do you mean they were standing underneath the mountain? So it says, from here we learn that God tilted the mountain over the Jewish people's head at Har Sinai and said, if you accept the Torah, good. If not, here will be your burial. Let's make this quick. And they made the right decision. We're here today. They said, okay, that, if you put it that way, I think we'll accept the Torah. We don't want the mound dropping on top of us. So that was Man Torah. So the Gemara asked an obvious question, like, what are you talking about? We have a general rule in halacha, in Judaism, if you do something under duress, under force, it doesn't count. Like, if someone puts a gun to you and says, I want you to make a neder that you're going to do X, Y, and Z. So I recommend you make that neder, and then after the guy leaves, you don't have to keep it. Whereas anything done under duress, you're not obligated in. So if the whole Torah was given under duress, we didn't want to accept, well, it depends, that's a separate kasha, nasev and nishma, but it looks like we were forced to take it. So how is it binding? So the Gemara says, you're right. Vekimu vekibu, we reaccepted the Torah beratzon in our free will on Purim. And therefore, that's why the Torah is binding. So you could ask, what about the people who lived before Purim? Was it binding on them? It's not a question for us. We live post-Purim. So the Torah is binding on us because the Jewish people accepted it b'Ava. How do we know they accepted it b'Ava? Because they even added more mitzvahs. Mikra Megillah, the Suda, Shalach Manos, Matanos Rav Yonim. So we see on Purim time they accepted the Torah b'Ahava. So we see Purim is a day of Matan Torah. Purim is a day of a Kabbalah HaTorah. And in fact, this explains, there's a famous Gemara in Psachim. They did it recently in the Daf Yomi. For those who are learning Daf Yomi, I'm not one of them, but for those who are learning Daf Yomi, probably about a week or two ago, they did it. The Gemara, the famous Gemara that says that there's a machlokas Rabbi Elezer and Rabbi Yeshua on how do you celebrate Yontif in general? Because it says, on one hand, the Pasuk says in the Torah, Atzeres l'Hashem Elokeichem. Atzeres is for God. And the word Yontif is for God. You know, we rejoice with God. And the other Pasuk says, Atzeres t'yelachem. That it's for you. It's for your enjoyment. So which one is it? Is Yontif for our enjoyment or for God's enjoyment? So that's a debate between, it's not a debate. It's a question is, how do you reconcile the two psukim? In other words, that's what Rabbi Yosef Engel points out. We read in the Rabbi Yishmael Omer before, now that you wouldn't know, since we start at Hodu or Baruch Shemar, so you don't remember what we say in the Rabbi Yishmael Omer, it talks about different principles. And it says that, let's say you have two psukim, two verses that are contradictory. What do you do? How do I know what to do? What should we do if we have two verses in the Bible that seem to tell? So what do you do? Bahashlishi umachriya b'nim. You look for a third pasuk and figure out what the answer is. So Rav Yosef Engel asked, but what about if we can't find a third pasuk? Then what do you do? So he says, this is a debate between Rabbi Elezer and Rabbi Yoshua. Rabbi Elezer, you have a choice. You could choose. You could choose which one you want to do. Either you could be Kugo Hashem, or you could spend the whole day or most of the day for eating or davening. In other words, even Rabbi Elezer agrees you have to have a meal. But we know there's a big difference when you have a meal during the week. And a meal during the week could last about 5-10 minutes. A meal on Shabbos and Yontif could last a couple of hours, at least pre-COVID, maybe post-COVID also. But a Yontif meal lasts a lot longer. So therefore, Rabbi Elezer would agree, minimally, you got to make Kiddush and eat, but basically you could spend most of the day learning and davening. And Rabbi Yeshua says no, or the reverse. You could spend most of your day eating and just do the minimum davening. And Rabbi Yeshua says no. If you, if you have two different verses, we don't have a third, you have to go halfway. Chatzi l'Hashem v'chatzi l'achem. Half for God and half for you. And that's what we do. We go to shul, we daven, whether it's Shabbos or Yom. The Rambam says it applies to Shabbos also. So we go to shul Friday night, we daven, we go home and eat. We go to shul Shabbos morning, we go home and eat. We go to shul for mincha. We used to have shalashidus in shul, but that's what it is. Chatzi l'Hashem v'chatzi l'achem. So that's the way we assume. However, the Gemara says, but even Rabbi Elezer agrees on certain days of the year, even Rabbi Elezer agrees that Rabbi Elezer, who normally says you could get by with a 5-minute Shabbos meal or a 5-minute Yontif meal, agrees on certain days, which I'm about to tell you, you must have a festive meal. You must have your meal with lots of foods and a longer meal. And what are those days? So the Gemara says, one is Atzeres, one is the Yontif v'Shavuos. On Pesach and Sukkot, you can get by with a small meal. But on Shavuos, no way, no cutting corners. Even Rabbi Elezer says you have to have a big meal. What other days of the year? It happens every week. The Gemara says, and everyone agrees by Shabbos. It says, V'karasa l'Shabbos oneg. On Shabbos, you must have a festive meal. Even Rabbi Elezer agrees you have to have a festive meal every week on Shabbos. And of course, the reason why I'm bringing the Gemara in is, and the Gemara says, and all agree on Purim. You may mishta v'simcha ksiv. You have to have a festive meal on Purim. So there are 3 days that are singled out. Shavuos, Shabbos, and Purim. Perhaps there's another day, but we'll leave that out for now. Erev Yom Kippur. But what do these 3 days have in common? What's the Gemara doesn't tell us. The Gemara just says these 3 days, they quote different psukim. They seem to be all independent reasons. But the commentators say there must be a deeper common denominator between the three. So I think it's the Binyan, maybe it's Rav Shlomo Mivilna Kohen, or it could be him, or it could be some other Mefarshim, who point out as follows. If you know what the common denominator is? That all these days represent, it's like we know there's halacha, let's say, or a minig, a halacha, someone like buys a new home and then they have a Chanukas HaBayis. They dedicate, they put up the mezuzah, they invite people over, they make a party. You know, it's a big accomplishment. You have a new home, you want to celebrate, you join in the simcha. It's just like when the Beis HaMikdash, when they built the Mishkan, they built the Mizbeah. So certainly, what does Shabbos represent? The creation of the world. If having a new home represents a good festive occasion, how much more so? 6 days a week, God created the world. On the seventh day, he rested. So Shabbos, we celebrate the Chanukas HaWorld, the dedication of the whole world. We exist. And therefore, that's why every Shabbos, we're obligated to have a chi of simcha, sudas hodah. Thank you, God. You created the world, and we thank you every Shabbos. That's why we have a chi of to have a meal. However, Rashi quotes the Chazal in Sefer Parshas Bereishis. It says, Yom Hashishi. When it comes to when Torah describes the date, it says, instead of saying Yom Shishi, the sixth day, it says Yom Hashishi, the Hey Hayidiyah, as they call it in Israel. So what's the Hashishi? This sixth day. What do you mean, this sixth day? So Rashi says that, quoting the Chazal, that God made a stipulation with the world when on that sixth day, when he created the world, he says, you know what, I'm creating the world, you know in what condition? If when I give the Torah, if the Jews accept the Torah on the sixth day of Sivan, on the sixth day of Sivan, many years later, then I'll keep the world going. But if they do not accept the Torah, it's going to go back to Tohu Vavohu. It's going to go back to voidness, but the world's going to be destroyed. So we see Shavuos is also, it's the creation of the world, because if we didn't accept the Torah on the Yontif of Shavuos, there wouldn't be a world. So again, we're celebrating the creation of the world, that was a Sudas Hodah. And as we just mentioned, the Gemara in Shabbos, but really the Shavuos celebration was lacking, because that was done under duress. What happened on Purim? Purim kimu v'kibru. We accepted the Torah bi'ava out of simcha. And therefore, again, it's a recognition of, again, that the world is we're living today, the world remains because of the Torah. So therefore, all 3 days, Shabbos, Shavuos, and Purim, all have the same theme, that the world was created. Well, Shabbos was literally the creation. You know, we just finished the creation. And in order for the world to remain in its status and better, we needed to accept the Torah on Shavuos. And then again, we had to re-accept the Torah on Purim to make it a full acceptance biyav. And that's why those 3 days are singled out at days of Simcha. So therefore, that's what the Mefarshim point out. Why is Purim a chi of Suda, besides the reason I just gave you? But as the Ramban writes in Parshas Mishpatim, where it talks about also Matan Torah, it says, Vayochu Vayishtu. What were the Jews doing at Mount Sinai? They were eating and partying. They were study hard and party hard. They were getting the Torah and they were partying. So according to some find fault with it. They say, some bring it down with Ginai. It was a negative. But not everybody. Not the Ramban. We go with the Ramban, obviously. The Ramban says it was a great thing. Why? From here we learn a very important halacha with Doros, that every time you have any type of accomplishment of Torah, we make a party. That's our custom. You make a siyum. When you make a siyum, we invite people over, we have a meal, we have cake, we have treats, whatever we have. So why do we have a suda on Purim? Because Purim was kimu v'kibu. It was the accepted Torah, biava. And that's why, in fact, because we know, because there's a famous kasha of, what do you mean the Gemara says that the Torah was forced upon us? We know we have a pasuk we read in the Torah, in Parashas Mishpatim, not Yisro. Nasa v'nishma. All the other nations refused to accept the Torah, the Medrash says, and the Jewish people said, Nasa v'nishma. So what do you mean we were forced into it? How could the Medrash say we were forced into it? The pasuk says we willingly accepted. In fact, Chazal talk about the greatness of the Jewish people. We're willing to accept it even before we knew what was in it. So like, you can't have it both ways. You can't tell me how great it was of the Jewish people. They accepted the Torah willingly and then tell me they, if that's willingly, someone putting a gun to your head, okay, so then... then what does duress mean then? If that's not duress, what is duress? So there are many answers, but the famous answer of the Medrash Tanchuma is, as we know, because there's the Torah Shebiksav and the Torah Shebaal Peh. And the Torah Shebiksav, and in fact, as Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky points out, yes, what do you, so as I just pointed to you, that the Medrash said that if the God made a stipulation with the world, if you accept the Torah on 6 Sivan, good. If not, there'll be a burial. Let me ask you a question. Did the Jews accept the Torah on the 6th of Sivan? According to Rav Yossi in the Gemara in Shabbos, no. Hosef Moshe Midaita, one of the things Moshe did on his own, he pushed off the Torah to the 7th of Sivan. So Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, yes, so why is the world here today? If we didn't accept the Torah on 6 Sivan, according to Rav Yossi, then the world shouldn't be here. So Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, of course, the Torah was accepted on Vav Sivan. Which Torah? The Torah Shebaal Peh. That Moshe on his own decided, no Torah today, we're going to give it tomorrow. And God said, Yasha Kochacha Sheshibarta. Good job, Moses. And that's where we get the custom of giving a Yasha Koach after an Aliyah. You know, it has to do with the Torah. And that's what God said to him. So really, the Torah Shebaal Peh was given. And that's why the world's not destroyed. So getting back to the Medrash Tanchuma, what did the Jews say Nasa V'Nishma on? On the Torah Shebiksav. The written law is much, is much easier to accept. It's not that much, you know, relatively speaking, there's a lot less in it. There's a lot less details. How to keep the Shabbos, how to keep kosher, how to do all these things. Torah Sheva'al Peh, you know, look in your bookshelves. How many books do you have Torah Shebiksav? How many books do you have Torah Sheva'al Peh? So the Torah Sheva'al Peh is much more encompassing and much more difficult to keep. And therefore, they said Naseh V'Nishma on the written law, but they were kofin on the Torah Sheva'al Peh. And that's what Purim signifies, the koach of Torah Sheva'al Peh. Shavuos is the Kabbalah's Torah Shebiksav. And Purim, that's the time where Torah, Purim and Chanukah, that's where the power of the Chachamim, Anshei Knesset HaGedolah came along and started making, during the time of Purim is when the rabbis started, learning through the Torah and learning all, whether adding rabbinic mitzvahs or learning out biblical mitzvahs in the Torah. So that was when the Torah Sheva'al Peh started to flourish. And that's the Yisod. That's why we have a Chiyuv on Purim to have a Suda, because it's Kabbalah HaTorah in contrast to Chanukah. As we said, the Lavush says because physical versus spiritual. That was one reason. Purim Haman was physical, so we have a Suda. But the other reason given, because it's the day of Kabbalah HaTorah. It's the time where we re-accept the Torah Biava. And therefore, anytime you have any accomplishment of Torah, one would have to go ahead and celebrate with a meal. Since what we'll have to do is we'll have to continue tomorrow night. We're having a special Monday night shiur this week because Thursday night is Purim. And not that you can't learn on Purim. In fact, you specifically should be learning. And this year, many yeshivas aren't having Chagiga, so they're having night seder. But the problem here is, it's probably unlikely we'll ever get onto any of the Zooms because they'll be probably busy with Megillas Esther, and it's my mother's yahrzeit. Of course, as we learn with Zeicha Nishmas Gittel Mindel Bas Avram, is my mother's yahrzeit is Thursday night, Friday, and actually we also learning with Zeicha my grandmother, my mother's mother's yahrzeit is actually tonight, and her name is Chaya Rachel Bas Eliezer. So her yahrzeit is tonight, Monday night. So apparently my mother and my grandmother, they died in the same week. I never put it together before. But my grandmother's yahrzeit is on this tonight. And my mother's yahrzeit is this coming Purim. So we have this special Monday night shiur. I guess we'll go with the, should we call it the 9:30 slot, 9:15? Like what time do you, what time works? The usual? The same time as... Yeah.
Can I vote for 9:30?
Yeah, is anyone opposed to 9:30?
9:15.
What?
Well, earlier, because I always have to get up early the next morning, so...
So we'll shoot. So Henry votes for 9:15. You could do 9:15. So we'll shoot... Anyway, we'll shoot for 9:15. How about that? Okay.
This is all AM, right?
No, tomorrow night is PM.
Yeah, okay.
Instead of Thursday night, it's Monday night because it's Purim. So hopefully, actually, we'll get to the topic of what we do this Friday. What we do for Purim, this, I didn't get to the actual practicality. That we'll get to tomorrow night. Okay, yeah. Jeff, yes.